The Millionaires Club for ebook sales is growing fast. Good news for authors and their publishers, and no doubt heartening as well for makers of all sorts of digital devices. But if you're a bookseller, take heart. Hardcover book sales for 2012 saw a respectable number of titles break through the million-unit sales barrier, too. Welcome, everyone, to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally, your host for Beyond the Book, and joining me, as he does every week at this time, is Andrew Albanese, senior writer for Publishers Weekly. Andrew, welcome back.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, you know, millions, we like to talk about millions and billions, and you've got some interesting reports here on some numbers you've gathered throughout the publishing industry for sales in 2012. Tell us about those.
That's right. It's our annual Facts and Figures issue. Every year we ask publishers to submit their build and ship totals for books published in the year previous. And we run lists for things like hardcover adult fiction and nonfiction, adult paperbacks, ebooks, and children's books, both hardcover and paperback, as well as ebooks, actually. And the numbers for this year are actually pretty impressive. You know, sure, it's been a difficult business climate, absolutely. But a lot of books are selling a lot of copies. I'll tell you, the big takeaway for me is that, no surprise, ebooks. You know, we only began asking for ebook numbers in 2011, but the growth we've seen in those, you know, those gaudy triple digits, the percentages we're always saying about ebook growth, well, that's really sort of borne out in the figures. I'll give you an example. On the adult trade side, there were only 16 titles that sold more than 100,000 ebook copies in 2010, led by Stieg Larsson's The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, that clocked in at 750,000. In 2011, when we did this, that number had jumped to 90 titles, ringing up more than 100,000 copies sold. That was led by The Help, which had sold close to 2 million copies. And in 2012, we can now report that over 170 titles have sold more than 100,000 ebook copies. And leading the way is, of course, E.L. James, who we talk about all the time on this show, who has sold a gaudy 14 million copies for the 50 Shades trilogy. The only other reported author in the million-selling book club, by the way, was Gillian Flynn with Gone Girl, but that's a very respectable number of ebooks sold. Now, I should stress that not every publisher shared their full numbers with us. These are figures that were submitted to PW in confidence for use. We used them to place titles on lists, and you know, things like returns have not been fully accounted for, but it is a pretty reliable snapshot of industry sales. And while we're at it, one other thing I'll mention to you about this year's list. You mentioned it in your intro, and that's hardcover sales. So yes, overall, hardcover sales in the publishing industry are down and trending downward, but there were some very big hardcover hits this year, thanks to some very big names. J.K. Rowling, The Casual Vacancy, sold 1.3 million copies. John Grisham and The Racketeer topped a million. And, you know, Gone Girl, which sold a million copies of ebooks, also came very close to doing it on the fiction side for hardcover with 900,000 copies sold. In nonfiction, Bill O'Reilly. That's the word here. Bill O'Reilly had two books that were over a million, Killing Kennedy, The End of Camelot, and his book on Lincoln, both sold over a million copies. And also joining the Million Club was No Easy Day, the account of the mission that killed Osama bin Laden. So much more to digest, and you will be able to take a look at all of that in our Facts and Figure issue out Monday.
Well, and also in Monday's edition, we'll have a report from South by Southwest out of Austin. You weren't there, but your colleague Calvin Reed was, and I guess his impressions were fascinating because they weren't up to expectations.
Yeah, I think that's true. I wasn't there, but Calvin and Rachel Deal were. You know, this is our third year participating in covering South by Southwest, and as we talked about it last week, it clearly is a premier venue for showing off new ventures and issues in technology, as well as featuring entrepreneurs that are launching these really cool new businesses. But paradoxically, our reporters know, including Calvin, that you know the programming was a little bit flat this year. Calvin says, you know, he's giving an overview of the entire conference in Monday's show, but he reports that he's never seen so many people turned away from panels, or so many panels that were just so largely over capacity. And there was a lot of complaining about being being turned away at some of the late night parties that were there. But however disappointing the experience of being turned away from a panel might have been, he also got to talk with a lot of very interesting people, including tech entrepreneur Mike Prasad, who's the founder of BitLove, a network of fan sites that's focused on everything from gaming to anime and manga to restaurants and cocktails. And he spoke with Calvin about building companies around fan enthusiasm, something publishers know well. Also, there was John Kraska, who's a former ALA organizer. He recently launched a really fascinating venture called EveryLibrary.org. It's a library political action committee that's focused on organizing around local ballot issues, supporting library infrastructure, and attracting support from the tech sector. PW, as we talked about last week, also contributed to South by Southwest programming. There were Rachel Deal's panel on self-publishing in the age of E, and Calvin's panel on publishing graphic novels in the Kickstarter era. Those will all be covered as well, and we'll have, as I said, a full rundown of our South by Southwest experience in Monday's issue.
And finally, as we always seem to be doing with these reports, Andrew, back to court.
Back to court. That's right. More wrangling in the Department of Justice's ebook price fixing suit. And it's beginning to suggest, in fact, I would say it is very much suggesting at this point, that it's shaping up to be a pretty epic trial and a very costly and complex litigation. So I'm going to be writing more on this next week for the PW website. But for those who may have missed the news this week, the judge in the Apple case, Denise Cote, ruled that Apple CEO Tim Cook is going to have to give a deposition in the DOJ's ebook price fixing case. And the ruling comes after U.S. attorneys had asked Cote to compel Cook's testimony, arguing that Cook, as an executive team member and a confidant of the late Apple founder Steve Jobs, was likely to have highly relevant information about Apple's decision to enter the ebook market and its strategies. Apple attorneys, meanwhile, argued that Cook knew nothing, really, and they asked Cote to issue a protective order that would have shielded Cook from being deposed. They also noted in their letter that some 29 witnesses have already testified, and none of them had mentioned Cook or really, you know, Cook's involvement with the ebook operation. That includes Eddie Q, who's the executive who oversaw the launch of the iBook store. He gave two depositions this week. So what does this all mean? Well, mostly on its face, that this litigation is turning out to be, no surprise, as I said, very big and very expensive. What we now know is that Apple has turned over 3.6 million pages of documents in the case, and the publisher defendants have produced nearly 5 million more pages, and that's a lot of billable hours for attorneys reviewing documents and reading them. And we also know that despite settling, all of the publishers accused are most likely going to play a role in the litigation in some way, and whatever comes after the litigation, too, whether it's an appeal or whatever happens there. So the lawyer fees are going to continue to pile up despite the settlements being done in most cases. So next week I'm going to turn my attention to June and the trial and the litigation. So you can check out the website next week for more on what's clearly turning out to be a very costly and very complex ebook case.
Well, indeed, the cost is an interesting point, Andrew. I mean, you think about the business right now, it doesn't have a lot of money to spare, and to be spending it on attorneys like that seems like a real sort of diversion of resources where they could be spent otherwise.
That's exactly right. And I think even with the settlements and publishers wanting to sort of get out of this easy, it's, you know, still going to turn out to be a big drag on their numbers for the short term.
Andrew Albany, Senior Writer for Publishers Weekly, thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as now images, movies, and television shows. Follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.